Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you all this morning? Great to be here.
It's lovely to see you all, and just a big thank you to those that came last night to the quiz. All of those that participated, I hope you had a good time. And thanks to Dave and Helen for setting up and everyone who was in the kitchen, really appreciated. And what's really lovely was we've counted and we've got an estimate from what was raised last night, but please feel free, if you didn't put anything in the box last night or you feel you want to put a donation in the box today, the box is by the hatch when you go and get your cup of tea. But last night, the estimate at the moment is £250, so that's really good. Yeah. The notices for the coming week. On Wednesday the 17th, it's prayer meeting. On Friday the 19th, it's church cafe. Please note there's no craft group this week. Sunday the 21st of June, our service will be led by Tony and Owenna Finch, and worship warriors will be 11 o'clock in the Jubilee. Next Sunday, we've got our Sunday service, When We Walk With the Lord, and it's a bit of a DIY. Oh, sorry, two Sundays. I'm going, yeah. No, it's not next week. Next week is Owenna, the following week. So by next week, you need to see Helen to see whether you want to take part in our DIY service. And it's titled When We Walk With the Lord. So it's an opportunity for you to encourage other people and tell us about your walk with Jesus. So if you want to take part, please see Helen. On Saturday the 18th of July, this is an advance notice for your diaries, a walk and a picnic has been arranged, 11:30 at Coombe Abbey. Please bring your own things for your food and a picnic. And if anyone wants to bring anything to share, that's fine as well. There will be chairs and a gazebo and a tent for those who don't want to walk, but just sit and relax. Tea and coffee will be available, and see the poster out there for more information. Okay, and there's no need to introduce Jeff, is there, as he comes to? So we welcome you, Jeff, to come and lead us in our worship this morning. Thank you. Oh, yes. See, tag team again. Krista's coming to share a brief word with us.
Hi. Yeah, it's a strange picture up there. You might wonder what it is. Well, my sister periodically sends me photographs, and this particular one she sent me too. And some of the photographs she has sent me in the past, some of you might have been beneficiary of these. And this particular one, which says, ohne dich, actually means translated, without you. And in other words, when she sent me that, she was telling me that she's missing me a lot. And I thought it was so sweet, and it made my heart really glad. And, oh no, not taking a photograph. Sorry, don't like my photograph taken up here. Please elate it. Anyhow, as I was saying, when my sister sent me this one, she was telling me that she's missing me a lot. And because she sent it to me, I was missing her a lot. But it also told me, because there's this black hole, you know, and she can't see me, perhaps every 5 or 10 years, and maybe not anymore, because we're both of senior age. So there's a hole in her heart because she can't see me. And I thought it's sweet. And, yeah, while this is a beautiful message, it made me really think. There are many people in our life, you know, in the walk of life, who either know the Lord or don't know the Lord, who have a big hole in their heart. And they don't know what to do with that because something is missing, either someone or something is missing. And they try to fill that hole. And with whatever their requirement is, they fill it. And once they got it, they think they're happy. But once they got it, hey presto, there's another hole. And they go through the same process again and trying to fill that hole, but nothing really helps because that dissatisfaction is still there again and there's an emptiness. And there's only one thing, well, really, not one thing. I should apologize to the Lord. It's one person, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. He should come into our heart. And when he is in our heart, Jesus, our Savior, Healer, Baptizer, and King, there's no more emptiness. There's no more black hole. And once we have him in our heart, there's no more yearning, no more striving, and no more emptiness, and no more black holes. Yes, we still live in this world and have to go through different things, but he still has filled that hole, because without him there's emptiness, but with him there is completeness, there is a contentment, there is peace, peace which comes from really deep within. Words cannot explain it, but when Jesus is there, you know he's there. And all yearning will stop, and there'll be no more black hole. So let Jesus fill our hearts. And Jesus, thank you.
Thank you, Krista. Good morning, everyone. Morning. You're all well, I hope. A call to worship. I'm going to read Psalm 63, verses 3 and 4. And it says this: because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the riches of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. And with that, we shall stand and sing, if you're able, our first hymn, number 1404, King of Kings, Majesty.
Majesty, God of heaven.
As we have just sung, let all within us fall at your throne. We shall do this in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we fall at your throne in prayer and with thanksgiving. We give thanks for the abundance of blessings that by your grace we receive. We give thanks that you are there beside us always, though sometimes we may not be aware of your presence. We give thanks for your guidance through your word and especially through your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray that you will fill and open our minds and our hearts as we gather here to praise and glorify your name, as we seek your kingdom first. Let your Spirit fill this place with your glory. We ask these things in Jesus' name, who taught us that when we pray, we would pray like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We shall sing again. Hymn number 2 is 156, Have Thine Own Way. May we take up the offering. Heavenly Father, we give thanks that you bless us each and every day, and in our grateful attitude, we bring you our gifts, that you may bless us continually more, and hold sway in this church, that we may be a light for all people. In your name, amen.
Amen.
And we shall continue in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come to listen to your word, open our hearts and minds to remove any barriers that we may have subconsciously put up. Help us to get out of our own way so that we can hear more clearly, understand more completely, and so love you more deeply. And in that love, we pray that you look upon this messed up world and fill the hearts of all the leaders, all the soldiers, all those who have power to change events. Fill their hearts with your presence. We pray for all the medical staff that work to heal those that are sick. Lord, we pray for the aid workers who put their lives at risk to help those in need. We pray for our church here in Coventry, that it remains an integral part of this community. We pray for each individual here today and those, for whatever reason, are not. Be with them all. May your grace fill our hearts and strengthen us and uplift us. In your glorious name, amen.
Amen.
Our reading today is from Genesis chapter 4 onwards to verse 7. Now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favour on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favour. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it." May God bless that reading. And we'll sing our next hymn, number 316, "Just As I Am." As you may have gathered, we're talking about Cain and Abel. So let me start by asking you a question. Are you a Cain or are you an Abel? To answer that, we must look at who Cain and Abel were and how they interacted with God. By no means am I calling any one of you a murderer, as far as I know. For we know that that was the direction Cain was moving towards. Rather, like Abel, are our offerings, are our sacrifices pleasing to God? Does he look favour upon them? First, let's look at the story of Cain and Abel. What can we glean from it? For one thing, it is very familiar. We all know it. Cain took his offering to God and Abel took his. God looked with favour on Abel's offering, but not on Cain's. There are other examples of God's favour in the Bible. Genesis 6:8, for instance, which says, "But Noah found favour in the eyes of the Lord." Or Exodus 33:12, which says, "Moses said to the Lord, 'You have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favour with me.'" God does not give an explanation for his favour. Does he need to? It would be helpful, wouldn't it, though? Let me read it again. "Now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, because crops had to grow and flocks had to reproduce, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to God." So Cain came first. That's hard to say. Cain came. Cain came first to God, which isn't the kind of first God was looking for. And it also makes me think of what Christ said when he said, "Whoever wants to be first will be last." But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. I think the "but" there is important. In this instance, at least, it's a comparison word. For example, "I like coffee, but I prefer tea." So its job here is to get us to compare the offerings. Cain brought this, but Abel brought that. And what do we find? Some fruits of the soil, fat portions of some of the firstborn. At first pass, it seems as though Abel's offering is better. The offering of Cain was no doubt aesthetically pleasing, being fruit and crops. Abel's would have been a bloody mess. But here's the thing. God is more concerned with faith in the heart than with artistic beauty. Cain's offering of some of the fruits comes across as an afterthought. No commitment. A lack of heartfelt motive. Whereas Abel's was the fat portions, which were considered the very best parts of some of the firstborn. In other words, the very best parts of the firstborn. So Abel was willing to give God his best and his first. Proverbs 3, verses 9 to 10 says this: "Honour the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine." Do we do that ourselves with God? Honour him with our first and our best? Cain's offering was not wrong in terms of what he brought to before God in general. Exodus 23:19 tells us, "Bring the best of the first fruits of your soil to the house of the Lord your God." But as we have seen, his offering was neither the best nor the first. And Proverbs 21, verse 27 warns us, "The sacrifice of the wicked is detestable, How much more so when brought with evil intent? Therefore, Abel's sacrifice, now we'll speak of the difference between a sacrifice and an offering in a moment, was better. Hebrews 11:4 tells us, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous. So, what is the difference between an offering and a sacrifice? An offering is something given to God. A sacrifice is an offering that costs something, often involving surrender, loss, or death. So every sacrifice is an offering, but not every offering is a sacrifice. There is also an emotional nuance to them. If someone says, I gave an offering, you think, oh, it's a gift. If they say, oh, it was a sacrifice, you think, well, that cost them something. And sometimes the Bible deliberately blends the two together, almost to say that worship is both a gift and a cost. Abel gave a sacrifice, for there was a death, probably a lamb. It was one lamb for one man. Later, at the Passover, it was one lamb for a family. Then, at the Day of Atonement, it was one lamb for the nation. And finally, with Jesus, the Lamb of God, it was one lamb who took on the sins of the whole world. There's Jesus and the gospel right there in Genesis. A commentator puts it like this, and I quote, in this chapter, we have both the world and the church in a family, in a little family, in Adam's family, and a specimen given of the character and state of both in after ages, nay, in all ages, to the end of time. As all mankind were represented in Adam, so that great distinction of mankind into saints and sinners, godly and wicked, the children of God and the children of the wicked one, was here represented in Cain and Abel. Let us read on to see what effect this had on Cain. Halfway through verse 5 it says, so Cain was very angry and his face was downcast, quite literally turning his face from God. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. John Goldingay, in his book Genesis for Everyone, said this. It raises questions for Cain and for us who have similar experiences of not being able to see why God blesses others and not us, or why God seems more real to others and not to us. God's questions are not because he doesn't know the answers. It's more for the purpose of getting Cain to think more deeply about his actions. His question, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted, leads me to the conclusion it is referring to Cain's offering. If he had brought to God the first and the best of his crop, then he would be accepted. It's a description of what doing right means. Coming to God with reverence, giving him all that is worthy, namely the first and the best of us. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying we must do this to be saved. For Christ's once for all sacrifice on the cross secured our salvation. And so, in reverence and faith, we should do what is right. If we don't, sin is waiting for us, crouching at our door. Did you know that that is the first time the word sin appears in the Bible? How insidious sin is, that in one generation murder occurs. Because the sin of the first man caused the second man to kill the third man. God is warning Cain about the destructive power of sin. Cain could resist sin and find blessings, or he could give in to sin and be devoured by it. Sin's desire is for you and for me, but we should master it. We prevent sin from ruling over us by letting God master us first. For without God as our master, we will be slaves to sin. And remember, sin is crouching at our door. Not only when we go out into the somewhat secular, atheistic world to be absorbed and assimilated by it, but also when we enter our homes through that same door. How tempted are we to sin when we think no one's watching us? Let me assure you, God sees all things. So what does this teach us? That as Christians, we should, no, we must do what is right. Bring our lives in line with God's will. Again, not to be saved, but because we are saved. We no longer offer animal sacrifices, but that doesn't mean that we have nothing to sacrifice. I have four for us to consider. There are probably a lot more, but four is enough for now. Let's look at them. And I haven't put them in any particular order. Excuse me a second. The first one is to sacrifice our love. Do not keep your love to yourself, or even just for the ones you love. For the greatest commandments are, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself. John 13, verses 34-35 says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Again in 1 John 5, verse 3, in fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And one more for good measure, Romans 12, 9 through 10. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. The Greek word for sincere means without hypocrisy, or literally without play acting or wearing a mask. How is your love for others? More importantly, how is your love for God? Give to him abundantly of your love as an offering pleasing to him. Next, we can sacrifice our loot, our possessions, and yes, even our money. In other words, generous giving. There is a box on the counter when you go in there. Romans 12:20 tells us, on the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap hot coals upon his head. I'd like to read you this, if I may. I don't know who wrote it, but I wonder if it will convict you as it did me. The bread that you hold back belongs to the hungry. The coat that you guard in your wardrobe belongs to the naked. The shoes that you have left wasting away belongs to the shoeless. The silver that you have buried in the ground belongs to the needy. In these and other ways you have wronged all those you were able to provide for. Second Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. Remember this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, because God loves a cheerful giver. How is your generosity? Do you give cheerfully? Or do you give reluctantly? Do you give because you think you have to? Do you give because you think it makes you look good? Christ gave himself for us. Be generous in your giving of everything you have. The next sacrifice we can do is this: the sacrifice of our lips, the sacrifice of praise. Is Sunday the only day you speak of Jesus? Hebrews 13, verses 15 to 16 tells us, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for such sacrifices God is pleased. I know it's difficult and it's hard, but we should be so full of Christ that it is impossible not to speak his name. To be so full of Christ that if a mosquito were to bite you, it would fly away singing, "There is power in the blood." We are to sacrifice our conversations to God, speaking of him first before any mundane, trivial chit-chat that might follow. Of course, there are important issues to discuss and plans to decide. But isn't God worthy enough to be included in these? A short prayer of praise before all else. Let us speak of Jesus more frequently. Let his home be not only in our hearts, but on our lips. Psalm 63:3, partly I read at the beginning, "My lips will glorify you because your faithful love is better than life." Let us be contagious carriers of the message. And finally, and by no means least, the sacrifice of our lives. Maybe this one should have been first. Without this sacrifice, the others I've mentioned would be hard, if not impossible. We need to surrender everything, not just our love or our lips or our stuff, but our very selves as well. Romans 12:1 says, "Therefore, brothers, I urge you, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God." Our act of worship is no longer to bring a sacrifice, it is to be one. Psalm 51, verses 16 to 17. "You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, God, is a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart you, God, will not despise." With all these sacrifices and others, we can bring our lives in line with God's will. Are you a follower of Christ? Then give him all your love. Are you a follower of Christ? Then give him all you have. Are you a follower of Christ? Then tell the world. Tell anyone who will listen and the ones who won't. Are you a follower of Christ? then give him yourself. As Jesus said, we must deny ourselves and take up our cross. Take up the sacrifices needed to follow Christ and surrender all. Amen. Now we'll sing our final hymn, number 1163, I Surrender All. Bless you and keep you. Amen. And the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.